If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
Thank you very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. Here we go. It is Tuesday on the Wintrust Business Lunch, 11 minutes after 12 o'clock. Andrew Herman will be by from DNA Info Chicago. You know, there's been a big boom in chicken coops in the city and in the area, and there's actually a consultant, Andrew will talk about that, and a famed pet photographer as well. It's all about business with Andrew Herman and openings and closings a little bit later. You know the discount you get or the boost you get if you're better looking? They say they look at what people make, and the cuter women and the more handsome men tend to make more money. There's a way around that. Apparently a new study out that it's just about grooming. If you present yourself well, you can be average looking and make money like you're beautiful. Suzanne Mushin kicks that around. But we start Tuesdays with John Najarian on Wall Street, as we do most Tuesdays. Mr. Najarian at John Najarian at Twitter.com. Welcome to the Business Lunch.
Great to be with you, Stephen. Thank you.
So now I get up this morning. I'm driving into work, and I see the number. It breaks that consumer spending was up, an increase of 1% last month, the biggest, I think, in a few years, right? The biggest increase in a few years for consumer spending. And yet I see the Dow Jones Industrial Average down nearly 100 points today. What gives there?
Well, a combination of things, but it usually is. Today, Stephen, there was a PMI, Chicago Purchasing Management Index, that came in a contraction. In other words, business not growing but shrinking in the Chicagoland region by that latest reading. That's not good. And we have a lot of consumer discretionary stocks, despite the fact that, as you say, we're spending. We're not spending as much in the bricks and mortar stores, perhaps an awful lot more being done online, which doesn't surprise any of us, really, but that is definitely hurting the XLY, the consumer discretionary stocks in the S&P 500. And then we've got consumer confidence, which despite spending, as you just nailed with the 1% increase, we've got consumers not very confident with that reading falling into the 92s from an expected range of perhaps 94.5. So more or less three negatives, and that's why the Dow's down triple digits.
All right, let's go back to that Chicago PMI. It was down 1.1 to 49.3. And right, if it's below 50, that's what they see as contraction. Sixth time in 12 months that it's been below that 50 mark. So what does that say for our future here along the Great Lake?
Well, I don't think it tells us too much on a month-to-month basis, but there are so many folks that are still wondering whether or not the Fed will move June 14th and 15th. Of course, the second day of that Fed meeting is when they'll give us either a Fed increase, an increase in the Fed funds rate, or they'll delay it yet again. And I think a lot of people were looking at a reading like this and saying this is another mixed signal, Stephen, as far as the Fed themselves have talked us into believing that they could move at either of these next two meetings. And yet some of the most recent data suggests that they might not. And again, back to your 1% increase in discretionary spending, nonetheless, consumers are spending, but where they're spending and how it's being done is one of the things that might put the Fed on hold for another month.
I read earlier that Boeing was one of the drags on the Dow today. Can you tell me what's up with Boeing?
Well, I haven't really been trading that one today, but they had such a big surge in the last couple weeks of orders. They were, of course, where the durable goods, that's one of the ultimate durable goods, is an airplane, of course, and that was one of the big bright spots that really drove durable goods orders over the last reading that we had. So to see Boeing a little weaker here, I suspect it's sadly things like people worried a little bit about what's happening between Brexit, which, by the way, the latest reading has them again right back, the telephone polling, right back into the potential that a majority of people would want to exit rather than stay in the European Union and Great Britain. And that's also adding a little pressure to the market.
John, was I talking with you about this last week, how it breaks down by age, this Brexit vote, that the older... Yeah, I just think that's fascinating that the older voters, who you think would be more cautious, are the ones who want to break, and the younger are the ones who want to stay in the EU. The European Union Central Bank is going to talk a little bit later this week as well, right? They're under economic pressure in Europe, although what was I reading? Consumer prices across the 19-country Eurozone fell in May for the third month in the last four. They don't have any inflation there at all, right? They're worried about deflation?
Right. They are worried about that, and that's that negative interest rate has reared its head in several of those economies in the Eurozone. Germany, of course, negative two-year rates by more than our positive two-year rate here in this country. So I think that and the fact that China really has this debt issue that they haven't been able to overcome, they spent like crazy to get their economy going. And we talked to a lady from Columbia University that was talking about the financialization of this kinds of debt and that it's just not working the way that the central bankers had hoped. And that's one of the issues, Stephen, is that they've got to get them spending. And without that, they worry about recessionary trends in the Eurozone.
All right, we'll watch that from the central bank in Europe coming up. We got OPEC this week, the U.S. jobs report coming out Friday. I know, so it's going to be a busy week. Do you have a stock tip for us today?
The one that I like the most today is Whole Foods, even though that might fly a little in the face of, well, there's, of course, the Amazon competitor out there that everybody worries about, but really, they've got this new 365 concept, Stephen, and I think that might be getting a little more buzz, especially with the stock just off of 52-week lows.
What's the 365? Up, is that their that's their brand, right?
365 is their new smaller store concept for Whole Foods and perhaps a little more price competitive instead of whole paycheck, only half a paycheck.
Oh, that's good. So we're looking at Whole Foods today. I think they're sort of not their generic, but their house brand is called 365 as well. I have to leave the store with 80% 365 products in order to afford to go in. That's my own little ratio. John Najarian, thanks for talking today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Stephen.
All right, we'll check in again next week. You're listening to The Business Lunch on 720 WGN. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. I'm Steve Bertrand. Andrew Herman from DNA Info Chicago is here as well with our openings and closing segments. And I was going to say Yosemite Sam. That's a Foghorn Leghorn maybe we should have sitting along with us. Andrew, welcome to the Business Lunch.
I can do an imitation if you want me to.
Foghorn Leghorn? Go ahead, let me hear it. I'll say.
You beat me to it.
So, you know, this whole chicken thing is not brand new. It's been building for probably 10 or 15 years.
Well, I mean, if you go back to the 30s, I think people having chicken coops in their yards probably dates back even before that. Even and we're talking urban situations, not farms. But, yeah, there is a woman that we wrote about named Jennifer Murtoff, and she lives in Oak Park, but she is a chicken coop consultant. And her company is called Home to Roost.
You know what just happened there?
What happened there?
Something I said set off my Siri. I apologize for that.
As long as it's not me, Steve.
No.
Anyway, so she has 400 clients in the city, this woman, Jennifer Murtoff of Chicken Coop Consultants. And for $60 an hour, she comes and takes a look at your chicken coop situation and helps you either get started or maintain it or fix whatever the problem is.
And there are hundreds of active chicken coops in the city, right?
Right. Most of her clients are in the Logan Square Humboldt Park area.
Okay, why is that?
My guess is that it may be connected to the Hispanic clientele.
Yeah, I wondered about that, but I didn't know how the neighborhoods have changed over the years or...
Well, when they ask her, what's your typical client, she does do some schools and she has a contract with Cook County Jail, but she said most of them are families and it's people who want their children to understand where food comes from. And evidently, to raise chickens is not that hard. They say it's a little harder than having a dog.
Well, the hard part, I had some friends who raised chickens for a while, and the hard part, at least where I used to live, was keeping the other animals out. and protecting them.
Right. If you have a cat, you probably shouldn't have chickens.
Cats will eat chicks.
They'll eat the chicks, right?
Everybody's got coyotes now.
Like a full-grown chicken, that can battle a cat.
But not a coyote.
Well, not the little chicks. The cats will eat the chicks, but can't beat a chicken, evidently. But, you know, you get 1 to 3 eggs per day out of a hen.
Right.
So I guess that adds up. You know, if you're trying to save money, it does cost you a little bit to get this thing going. They estimate between $500 and $1,000 to get yourself a coop. But the chicks themselves are only a couple bucks a piece. And once you get it going, you have food and you have something interesting to show your kids.
What I thought also was interesting was that you can, you know, harvest the eggs yourself, but legally in Chicago, you can't kill your own chickens.
Right. No butchering. You have to have a professional butcher do that. And it's considered bad form to have a rooster.
Right.
Because the neighbors hate the roosters because the roosters are crowing. And here's something I did not know until I read this story in DNA Info. And that's that chickens, hens will lay eggs without the rooster. For some reason, I thought they were connected somehow.
You thought, well, they're connected, but it's not quite in that way. Right. The story that bores my kids to tears, but when I was a kid, you know, there were chickens around, and I remember clearly one day we had a bunch of chickens, went out to a farm and just, you know, slaughtered them, you know, cut their heads off, took the feathers off, and harvested our own chickens. I don't think it's that hard.
Did you wring their necks?
There was a mechanism that you would put them in, I think, you know. But that's how you would eat. That's how you would get your chickens. Why are you laughing at me?
Any story that begins when I was a kid,
yeah,
you know, and how your children basically reject that.
All right.
Well, but that's actually a good story.
I love it. It's a memory I'll never lose. All right, let's take pictures of our pets. Tell me about this. We've got a minute left. But people are paying $5,000. It's a charitable donation.
Right. There's a guy named Andrew Grant. He's a famous pet photographer. He's from Canada, and he produces these books called Rover, and he uses these books to raise money for animal shelters. He's coming to Paws in Lincoln Park, and for $5,000, you can have a professionally taken photograph, and it ends up in one of his books. And he's coming June 7th, and he's part of a huge pet industry.
This a pet industry of pet photography?
Yeah. So there was a survey the other day. Canon cameras found that we take more pictures of our pets than we take selfies. And I'm trying to think, is that true? Well, that's true for me.
Is it really?
Yes. Yes, I take pictures of my dog.
Why?
I don't know. The kids have moved out. I got nothing else to take. I guess I could take pictures of my wife.
Well, I think we did change the way we take pictures because they're so, it's not a big deal to take a picture now, right?
Right.
So you might not have taken 50 pictures of your dog in a day.
Right. There's no film costs or whatever, but it's all part of this huge exploding pet industry in America. $52 billion on pets.
All right. You can read more at dnainfo.com/Chicago. Andrew Herman, thanks for... Which did you prefer, the dog part or the chicken part?
You know, I kind of like your story of wringing the chicken's neck.
Yeah, I'm kind of sorry I told it. This is the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thank you very much, Kim Gordon. In the background there, you heard Suzanne Mushin whistling. Very good, too.
That's a good one.
Suzanne is the co-host of The Big Payoff that you can hear at WGNplus.com. But right now, she's a whistling Beyonce tunes, I guess, right?
You know, so I'm going to make you admit before all of the listeners what you said to me before we got on.
About Beyonce?
Okay. First, he asked me how to pronounce her name.
I was kidding.
Then I asked... You know, are you familiar with her music? And you said, well, I know that song.
Put a finger on it.
You know, that's not, okay, so I think I need to bring you more up to speed.
Yeah,
so,
it's true. I mean, you know, I know that I would know her. I mean, she's huge.
She is huge.
But what you're telling me, I mean, I'm not really a fan. I'm not anti, yeah. But I'm not a big fan. But I did not realize that she had, her fan base was much more women than men.
Much more women. So she performed this week at Soldier Field. Why are you laughing now?
I'm just laughing at
yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good you entertain yourself on the show.
I appreciate that. Thanks. Someone has to.
So Soldier Field. How many people does Soldier Field seat? Like 30K?
Oh, no, more than
more?
That. We'll go with 60.
Packed, right? Filled to the brim.
Did you get wet?
Not just wet, okay, not more than wet.
Right.
So I'm there Friday night when, you know, the downpour starts. Sure enough, she comes out. And I'm just telling you that, first of all, she performed in the rain, but for $1 million a night, that's what they're saying.
She was making $1 million?
That's what they say she nets.
61,000, I heard. So
no, that's not what. Oh, 61,
no, that's what, how many fit? Yeah, Michael told me.
Dollars from the concert.
So she's making $1 million
a night. So we were all like blown away that she performed in the rain. But I have to say, for $1 million right. a night, you probably should. But
and she probably wasn't in the rain.
No, she was full exposure.
Really?
It even had this ramp that moved out into the crowd that she was on. But here was the best part. All women in her band, all women dancers behind her. At one point, there's a solo guitarist, rock guitarist, women. But there were a couple of men on stage.
Yes, go ahead.
Do you know what they were doing, Steve?
They were background singers.
No, they were not.
What were
they?
Would
have been a step up.
Right.
Sweeping the rain off the stage for her.
Uh-huh.
And handing her water.
Now,
as it should be.
Why do you do this to me? Because you know my reaction, right? You know what I'm going to say next.
What are you going to say, Steve?
That if it was a David Bowie show and it was all men.
Yes.
And they made a show of it being all men.
Yes.
And then they had two women serving him.
Correct.
It would be
awful.
Awful.
Absolutely.
And so I have to take that bait.
This was all about empowering women. Her whole album, Lemonade, is really an anthem. It's like a female anthem. I don't know how deliberate that was, although I have to say everyone around us noticed that those were the guys on stage.
They were cleaning up after her. And serving her.
Yeah.
Interesting. Uh-huh. I'm just going to...
So if you ever want a job, like, I don't know, after hours...
Put a little finger on it and...
a little finger on it.
Get out there
and... be a good sweeper.
Do some Beyonce. Yeah, well, that's good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I did.
Wonderful show.
It was otherworldly.
So she came to Chicago, made a couple mil.
Couple mil.
Not too shabby. She doesn't need to get dialed up to go to work. I love this next story.
This is so made for Steve.
Well... maybe it is. Maybe it's the curmudgeon in me. But so there's the, you know, you talk about beautiful people.
Yeah.
Make more money.
Yes.
Right? And I can kind of understand that almost or appreciate
that. Let's just
say
this is a real study, right? The University of Chicago, UC Irvine did this study. They were saying good looking people. Now, how they qualify that, you know, hard to say. But what they concluded was that good looking people do make more than their counterparts, up to 20% more. But then they had this very interesting statistic that it wasn't just about being good looking. It was about how well groomed you were.
Now, see, and so if you were well groomed, quote unquote.
Which really, let's get specific. Women, lipstick, hair done, nails done. It's in the study.
Okay, and men would be...
Men didn't score so well in the well-groomed.
It didn't make as much of an impact.
Did not make as much of an impact. Now, that
okay,
could,
well, let's back up then. Back so up. You make more money if you look good.
Correct.
You can make up for that lost money
correct.
If you are average-looking.
Yes.
And you go to work looking good.
Yes. Even if you are groomed, make more than
the beautiful
good-looking
people. Right.
But not well-groomed people.
Okay, so we should be celebrating this, right?
We can be celebrating it. I think it's actually an interesting... let's read it in a different way.
Okay.
Let's give it a slightly different read. I think if you are well-groomed, and I just used air quotes, but, you know, by their definition, something else is going on that is likely to make you more successful. You're probably more diligent, take your job seriously. You might even give off a better impression when you walk in the room.
Well, you would. That's the point.
Right. So there may be other things going on. It's not really just about your male boss thinking you're hot.
See, that's so funny, honestly, because that didn't even occur to me.
That would be
that it was your male boss thinking you're so hot. It did not even occur to me.
It occurred to me.
I'm sure it did.
Uh-huh.
To me, it's like, well, if you show up at work presentable, sharply dressed, and I know that the study shows that the impact for men overcoming the beautiful gap wasn't as well if they're well-groomed as women.
Right. And that may, again, be what does it really mean for a guy? Let's take two men, one well-groomed, one not. Really, what's the difference?
No, I think no, that's not true. There's a real difference. Look at, just walk around the hallways and you'll see some people who are attentive to what they're wearing and how they're wearing it and others who aren't.
Okay, so didn't
compare Michael Heidemann, who's clearly a fashion symbol to me.
Totally.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Except for when you wear that
he's
vest,
totally
which I really
better groomed
like.
Than me, do you?
That's sort of like that Swiss vest.
It's Irish.
Is it Irish? Yeah, sorry. It is Irish, didn't mean to offend.
But, you know, no, you can see it with men as well, I think. To me, that is an evener upper. I think that's a good thing. I don't think it is a, so you think
no,
it is a sexist sort of
no,
thing?
No, I actually was not offended by the study. Right. I thought to myself, well, I only wish that when they reported on it, they had made the bigger point, which was this is really about presenting yourself well, and it really doesn't matter so much your God-given looks
exactly.
if you make up for that.
And you're right in that. It might speak to the way you behave in general
correct.
If you take the time to present yourself well.
Right, that makes sense.
Yeah, but I think it doesn't. It's not about sex. It's about presentability.
It could be some of that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we can't take away the fact that if men and women are working together and there's bosses of different genders and a good-looking employee, we don't know. Well, I'm sure there are studies, but there's psychology there. Let's just
okay, but don't you think that if it's a female boss and the women working for her, you know, some of them are slovenly and some of them are not really.
Hey,
some
Steve, can I interrupt you for just a second?
Sure. Yeah.
It looks like there is a verdict. A verdict has been reached in the Drew Peterson trial. We don't know what it is, so stay tuned. But I just want to let you know the jury has reached a verdict.
All right. And that's the one downstate where Peterson's accused of plotting to kill the Will County State's Attorney James Glasgow. So, all right, Kim's on that. And
I thought Kim was going to weigh in with her opinion on whether or not lipstick was okay in the office.
That scared me more than anything.
It's
okay.
Not in this business because my lips stick together when I wear lipstick. But
it also is
I
radio.
Wear it. Yeah.
All right, I'm just going to go home now. You can go ahead and take it. All right, so...
Yep.
So where were we on that? So I think that's a good thing. I think that's a positive.
I do, too. It encourages people to think about how they present themselves rather than the sexuality.
All right. Suzanne Mushin, you can hear more at The Big Payoff at WGNplus.com. We've got about a minute left, I guess. Let's squeeze it in. We've been talking a lot about the overtime here, the new rule. If you make less than 47 grand a year, you work more than 40 hours, you're now eligible for overtime.
Time and a half.
And you say that's going to change in when it comes to administrative assistants.
So this was an incredible statistic that said that of administrative assistants, people who actually work in that role, only 1% are men. So let's just even say they're off by 10%, by 20%. This is going to overwhelmingly impact women. And I do think that there are a lot of women who use that first-run career ladder job to impress their boss. They want to show up early. They want to stay late. And now I think their bosses are going to be encouraging them not to do that.
Or they will continue to do it. They'll be being paid what they deserve.
Correct.
Which is a good thing.
If that's actually the direction the bosses take. I think this is going to be a big thing. A big thing.
But don't you think it will reduce abuse of these workers?
For sure. And that's the great part about the ruling is that it will reduce that. But look, if you look at certain industries where it's just that's the way you get the leg up,
right.
No pun intended.
Right. But it's still abusing the workers. So
yes.
It'll just change the way you get the leg up.
Right.
You'll just dress more nicely.
Put on some lipstick.
Do you like what I have today?
It's a little rosy for me.
All right. We'll try again next week. Suzanne Mushin, nice to see you again.
Good to see you.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thank you very much, Orion Samuelson. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. If anyone's going to need milk days, it's going to be Marianne Ahern after spending the last week or so in Springfield, Illinois. NBC 5's Marianne Ahern joins us on a phone line now. Marianne, welcome to the Business Lunch. Hello, Marianne. Do we have you there?
Hello.
Oh, there you go. Marianne, it's Bertrand. How are you?
Hey, so sorry.
it's okay. I just said, you know, you're going to need a break and you have to go to the Harvard Milk Days to decompress after your time in Springfield.
I mean, you know what? I think I lost you because there's just, like, nothing happening. I wish goodness that there would hurry up and come to some kind of conclusion. But, Steve, it is Groundhog Day in Springfield.
Well, it seems like there was a flurry this morning. The governor sort of offered this provisional budget plan, and then the four tops met, and they shot it down, right? Tell me about that.
Yes. You know, so they've been meeting, the four top leaders, two Democrats, two Republicans, meeting with the governor pretty much for the last 10 days, at least once a day. And this time the meeting lasted perhaps 20 minutes or a half hour. Speaker Madigan and Senate President John Cullerton, the first to leave the meeting, and very much say, well, you know, that was very nice of him to consider a stopgap education budget, but no, that's not going to happen today. We couldn't certainly come to some kind of vote on that so quickly.
there's just not time to consider it, right? Because there's a lot involved.
Yeah.
It's not like you could vote on a budget that's $7 billion out of balance in 12 hours. Oh, wait, they already did that. The House did that a couple weeks ago.
I know, get it. So then the Republican leaders, Christine Redonio and Jim Durkin, walk out and they say, oh, this is horrible. You know, this is awful. Nothing is happening. And it really is all about the November election. And in some, Jim Durkin replies, not just this November, this is about the governor's election. And 2.5 years from now, I'm not sure they're going to give Rauner a budget the entire time that he is governor. That's the signal they're sending.
Is it all the Democrats, or could Rauner make something happen himself?
He's trying hard. You know, he's got a few here and there at times. It seems as if, you know, but yet when you saw what happened maybe yesterday in the pension bill for the city of Chicago, two Republicans peeled away and gave the mayor what he was looking for. So it doesn't appear that the Republican caucus is, you know, going to hold firm, at least when it came to that vote. You know, last year you would have said, okay, rookie governor, maybe he's, you know, trying to figure it all out. But now you've got to say, come on, guys, someone's got to come up. We're the only state in the entire country without a budget. I got to believe that there's a lot of division in other states as well, and yet they've learned how to figure it out.
Well, as you know, so a year ago when this happened, you know, we were all saying, maybe not you, Marianne, you might have been wiser than the rest of us, but we're saying, okay, there's going to come a point when there's going to be real pain inflicted and the people of Illinois are going to force action. But with all of these judicial rulings forcing spending anyway, I mean, there certainly are people suffering. The social service agencies and the vendors and all of that are suffering greatly, but there hasn't been that sort of massive pain that forced action. And from what I understood, they thought that maybe education funding was or will be that catalyst come this fall. Is that a possibility?
That is what we're hearing, because the Democrats thought that that would push Rauner last year into a budget, and instead by piecemeal, as you mentioned, this time apparently the education funding is orchestrated in such a way that he's going to have to take out some kind of, you know, line item veto, which he doesn't want to do. So they've maybe perhaps pushed it even further with this education funding bill that won't allow him to do what he did a year ago. That's all still, you know, obviously percolating down here today.
Well, you've got 11 hours left. Do you see anything? It looks like nothing's going to happen, right?
No, honestly, for appearance' sake, they're in debating. The Senate has been debating. The House is off in their party caucuses. I guess they're having lunch. I mean, I know it's hard to see, but I think the end of the day it might even come before midnight. But I think we'll be here till 7 or 8 o'clock tonight, and they'll go, okay, bye bye, and we'll get right back to you.
Who would have thought that the most excitement you see is the drive back to Springfield, Marianne Ahern?
Cornfield, windmill, cornfield.
Careful. Those are my people. It's nice to talk to you.
I know. I like them. And the windmill breaks it up. You know?
Thank you very much for joining us. And be well. Thanks very much, Marianne.
Of course. Thanks.
You're listening to The Business Lunch here on 720 WGN.